I wanted to mention before we began how good it is to see Bob and Leona able to be with us today. It's good to see you too. I need to tell you that I finished writing this on Thursday evening of this past week. And when I spent yesterday working on it further, the relevance of it looked fresher to me, but in a different way. And I hope you'll hear it as a word to the church about our conception of a Christian woman and the value of a Christian woman. It's from Acts chapter 16. And this happens, if you remember, right after Paul has not been allowed to go over into Asia on his second missionary journey, maybe in further in that direction with the gospel. And when he has seen in a vision a man from Macedonia urging him, come over and to help us, he headed in the direction of the Greek world, of the Western world, and for the first time takes the gospel over onto the continent of Europe. After he's received this call from the Macedonian man, the scripture says, Luke now writing, so setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace and the following day to Neapolis and from thence to Philippi. By the way, this is a two-day journey that when they go back the other direction, in another text, ends up taking them 5 days. God helped them along to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia. There were four districts in Macedonia, actually, and this is one of them. And a Roman colony, a little piece of Rome, put in a different location. We remained in this city some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul, and after she was baptized, and her household as well, she urged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And she prevailed upon us. So, the news of the love of Christ starts moving in our direction with a certain woman named Lydia, as one of the versions translates verse 14. Like you, I don't know many of the details about Lydia's life, but I know enough about her to admire her and to be grateful for her and to her. I don't know if she was married. She could have been, and she could have been widowed. She might have been married to a Greek husband like Timothy's mother was, and him not being mentioned here in this picture. I don't know if she had children. I do know that she had a household. And I know from her household and her good influence among the members of her household that if she was a mother, she was a good one. And I can tell that by what we're told about her character. And that's just another way of saying something about Lydia that's pretty basic to how followers of Christ look at things when it comes to families. A mother, to us, isn't merely a female who has borne an infant. Nor are only those who are experts in the latest trends of child rearing mothers. The way we look at it, A mother is a woman expressing something of the image of Christ, whether she realizes it or not. We know that there are good moms who are not necessarily Christians. We realize that. But whether they're realizing it at the time or not, as they do their work, they're showing something of the image of Christ in relationship to their family. And really, here's the premise that we're starting from today. This is the same character to which every one of us who love Christ aspire. This is who we would like to become in our lives. Lydia has some of the most precious traits of the character, not only of a mom, but of a Christian woman, or of any Christian, any follower of Christ, anyone who loves Jesus and wants to be like Him. And I'd like to call your attention to some of those character traits this morning in our study that explain a lot of things that are on our hearts today. Here's what I can see about Lydia from this little paragraph that we've led, no more than it is. Lydia is first a capable person, an able, capable individual. Anybody's first impression of Lydia would start with this, I think. She's a seller of purple goods. Purple was the color of the wealthier or the royal side of the social equation. The town that she was from, which was Thyatira, was over in Asia Minor, and it was known for its manufacture of purple dye. One, the more expensive kind, made out of a certain shellfish, and another, just less expensive, made out of a certain root, a redder color. The purple kind here was used to dye cloth or to dye goods like that, and was highly expensive and highly valued and sought after. And she's in business selling this in a town away from home where she's from. She has a household, and it's specified by Luke here, her household. And it's a household that includes other people, perhaps children, maybe servants. It's a big enough household that four missionaries can come and stay there with her hospitality. She's a responsible, capable individual in that way. And she's able to understand as she listens and to choose or to decide what she's going to do about it, and then to take four missionaries in the town where they've just arrived and urge and prevail upon them to let her join in the service in which they're engaged. All of those details bespeak the capability in life that this dear woman embodies. Now, those are also qualities that are consistently in the Bible attributes of motherhood and of godliness in general. A lot of us have heard read over and over the observations with which Proverbs ends in Proverbs 31. You remember some of these statements about the worthy woman. She seeks wool and flax. Now the goods may have different names now, but the work is, we recognize. She works with willing hands. She's like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it's yet light and provides food for her households. She considers a field and buys it with the fruit of her hand. She plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strengths and make her arms strong. Her lamp does not go out in the night. Verse 27 says, she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. That's Lydia, but it's so many other godly women whom we have known over the years and whom we have loved and valued dearly. What does a woman like this do in the life of her children as she's raising them? What's her impact in their lives? She trains them in how to live from day to day, first off. She trains them on how to keep their room and how to take care of their bodies and how to help with household chores and to be a member of the family. She trains them on how to deal with their friends and do their homework and to grow. She trains them on how to be able eventually to be independent and to live on their own and to do well at it. She equips them for able and effective everyday living. She prepares them to cope with the unexpected things that life is going to bring to them as they go along. Lydia was a capable person. Second, Lydia is a committed worshiper of God. The word for worshiper here is a word used elsewhere in Luke to speak of the God-fearers, the Gentiles who have either become proselytes to Judaism, who've been attracted to the one living God and His ways, or they are devout persons like Cornelius who fear God and want His ways to be done in their lives. It's interesting, isn't it, that we meet Lydia first in this activity. Not at home and not at work, but at the riverside at the place of prayer. She's here even though it's not her hometown, and people that she's known growing up won't know whether she went to worship or not. She's here even though it's at a place of prayer by the riverside. There's not enough Jewish men in town, for it took 10 for there to be a synagogue, and apparently there's not one. She's here even though there is business to do. The world in a Roman colony didn't shut down because it was the Sabbath day. She's here even though there are only a few women present. Lydia is not the kind of person who just leaves it with everybody else to serve the Lord. She's present. This is a woman who didn't inherit God. She chose God. She has a right priority. She has a sustained commitment to worshiping God that she carries on no matter what. She's a spiritually minded person, in other words. And once again, how many of our lives have been blessed by great ladies like her? What would her family see in her? Living with her from day to day in her household, they'd see consistency, not perfection, because no human being has not had failures or weaknesses. They'd see consistency in her, though. They'd see an understanding of who we are and who we want to be. They'd see they'd gain a sense of what matters. And I think generally a sense of well-being comes into the life of a family in the person of a Lydia or someone like her. Lydia has, third, a good heart. And if you notice, in a way, heart is what Lydia is known most for. She is interested and teachable. And if you think about it, it's fairly rare to find the combination of qualities that we've just mentioned here. Someone who's able to take care of things myself, thank you. A committed worshiper of God who has been all along, who now has missionaries showing up preaching Christ, and she's teachable and interested. She doesn't think she knows everything. In fact, there are a lot of scholars who believe that maybe Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke have showed up at Philippi in answer to the prayers of this group of women. Maybe when they met the Sabbath day before that out there by the riverside, they prayed to know something of the Messiah and of the kingdom of God. And maybe these show up in answer to her prayers. She listens carefully. When the text in verse 14 says, one who heard, that word for heard can be translated, listens carefully. And then the Lord opens her heart to attend to what Paul spoke or to respond to what Paul taught that day. This is the only case of conversion in the book of Acts or anywhere else where it specifically says the Lord opened her heart. And some people jump to the conclusion that this is a case where God simply worked a miracle on her. But if the Lord did with her what he did, say with the Ethiopian in Acts 8, or with Cornelius in Acts 10, then what happened is the gospel convicted her heart. Her heart was touched with what the gospel said. And she's already listening attentively, and the news of the love of Christ has an impact on her heart and makes her want to follow that Christ. And isn't it interesting that in verse 15 it simply says, after she was baptized. Well, why was she? Because she had been listening to Paul speak the gospel of Christ. And the Lord had opened her heart to attend to it. And she did what it asked of her and invited her to do. She let herself be identified with the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus in obedience to the gospel. This is a woman who had not only an open heart, but a good heart. A heart like hers isn't determined by the culture that goes on all around it. And it's noticeable because it is different. It's an attitude, it's a spirit, it's an interest that isn't just ordinary. In fact, if you follow over into Acts 17, a lot of the other people from Philippi follow Paul and them over to Thessalonica and try to stir up trouble there because they're jealous of people who are paying attention to the gospel. Lydia had a different heart than any of them. Family members who adopt a heart like hers can think simply of what the Lord says about this, and they can gladly receive it, and they can willingly bring themselves in line with it, as the members of her household do in verse 15. They also have been able to hear and to believe and to act on what the gospel invited them to do. A person like that is a mother who sets quite an example and has a big impact. A lot of the times her work in the lives of her family is not determined by a position taken on a problem that comes along in life, but her attitude toward all of it and toward the people around her. Fourth, Lydia is grateful and thoughtful. And once again, like so many great and godly Christian women we've known, Lydia's home is soon as open as her heart is. She is thankful for the arrival of somebody bringing the gospel to her. She would have known the "how beautiful are the feet" statement from the Old Testament prophet about those who bring good news. You can see from what she says that she values faithfulness. "If you've counted me, if you judge me to be faithful to the Lord," and she's eager to serve. "Come to my house and stay." Now you remember, this is a time when she's asking something that didn't ordinarily happen for at least four men from somewhere else to come and to stay at her household. What kind of rumors could that have started? Paul said she constrained us, just like in 2 Corinthians 5, he says the love of Christ constrains us. And what I'd like for us to see is what she's doing here is extending unusual kindness. Yes, she is showing hospitality, which we're called to do. Romans 12, verse 13 teaches us that. But she's also thinking of what's best for the kingdom. How are people in this town going to be more likely to listen to the gospel of Christ? If Paul and these others stay at some worldly inn, or if they stay at my house, how will the church do best if it has a base of operation like my household, or if they're just strangers in the community staying at some odd place or another? She's thinking of what's best for the kingdom. And if Lydia has children, they'll learn from her to appreciate what people do and to be considerate of the situation people are in and to think of what they can do themselves to let somebody else have the same privilege of hearing the gospel that they've had. Lydia is also a touchstone in a crisis. Her home is a place important to the whole church. And by crisis, we mean what goes on around Lydia in the rest of Acts chapter 16. Not only daily life, but mob injustice, a beating, jail, an earthquake, and the people who taught her the gospel being asked to get out of town, the sooner the better. That's a crisis. So what do? Look at Acts 16 and verse 40. This is after the whole experience in the jail, and after the jailer has been taught and baptized, and after their interaction with the magistrates of the city. It says, they went out of the prison and visited Lydia. And when they had seen the brothers, they encouraged them and departed. Where'd they see the brothers? When they visited Lydia. Lydia was the person in this picture where you'd go, to whom you'd go when you didn't know where else to go. You can imagine the impact of any mother's being this way in her family. It would instill in children a sense of significance and of caring and of identification with a cause larger than themselves, something which is much needed wherever the Lord's people have to live in the world. So there's why Lydia continues to be important. Today, I hold motherhood in honor, as the Lord did before I did, and as the Lord does better than I do. But today, I'm not just trying to offer a tribute to mothers. And I don't have any emotional stories or funny stories of motherhood to tell you today. My point's just that the world needs mothers like Lydia. And what's more, The world needs mothers with character like Lydia's because it needs people like this. And the question is, where are such people going to come from? What we've learned from Lydia's story is that the news of the love of Christ first finds people like this and then produces them. You won't just become one of them someday when you turn over another calendar on your birthday. You need to start it. You're invited to start becoming this kind of a person. That's what the gospel calls all of us to do. To hear the good news like Lydia did, to have our hearts open to it, to obey it after the same fashion as she did at the river that day. Confess the name of Jesus and to be baptized in Him and start becoming like Him and to keep on no matter what. If we can help you make that beginning today, would you not let us know of your need while we stand and sing this song together?